A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been picking up Amazon orders on his US trips, and something's been catching his eye. He ordered a $70 monitor, arrived with cosmetic damage. The chatbot didn't offer a return label or a replacement. It offered him 10 bucks to keep the thing. He's also noticed that when he clicks cancel on a VPN subscription, the system instantly serves up 3 months at half price, like it was waiting for him. His question is whether either of these is real AI making decisions, or just dressed up business rules with a chatbot skin. And if there's real AI in the mix, how do you build guardrails around something that's handling actual money at Amazon scale?
He's asking the right question. These two things look similar from the outside. A chatbot pops up, makes you an offer, you click yes or no, but underneath they're completely different animals. The VPN cancellation flow is a state machine. It's tracking where you clicked, checking how long you've been subscribed, and serving a pre-written offer. There's no reasoning happening. The AI is just the interface layer. It's a text box that says, how about 3 months at half price, instead of a pop-up modal. The decision was made by a rule someone wrote 6 months ago.
And the Amazon refund?
That one's more interesting. The system is looking at photos of the damage and reading your description of what's wrong. It has to figure out whether a cracked bezel is cosmetic or functional, whether the screen still works, whether you're describing shipping damage or a manufacturing defect. That's unstructured input. You can't handle that with a drop-down menu. So there's an LLM in the loop doing classification. But, and this is the part most coverage gets wrong, the LLM isn't setting the refund amount.
It's picking a tier.
The model classifies the damage into a predefined category. Cosmetic, functional, shipping damage, whatever the taxonomy is, and then a separate rule engine maps that category to a refund percentage. Cosmetic damage might be 15% of the item price. Functional damage might be 50%. The LLM never touches the dollar amount directly. It's proposing a classification, and the rule engine is disposing.
So it's AI in the loop, not on the loop.
That's the phrase. And it's the standard deployment pattern for anything involving money. Anthropic's agent safety guidelines and OpenAI's equivalent both recommend exactly this architecture for financial decisions. Constrained output schema, rule engine, human escalation. The model proposes, the system constrains.
Daniel mentioned he did a stint as a customer service associate at Amazon years ago. He remembers a tiered authorization ladder, pre-authorized refunds up to some dollar amount, manager approval above that. He's wondering whether that maps onto what the AI is doing now.
It maps almost perfectly. The latter he remembers, refunds up to X dollars are automatic, X to Y needs a supervisor, above Y needs a manager. That's the rule engine. What's changed is the step before the latter. In the old system, a human had to look at the damage description and decide which tier applied. Now an LLM does that classification. But the authorization ladder itself is the same structure. The parameters are easily defined in AI terms because they were already easily defined in business logic terms. The novelty is the AI layer that interprets unstructured input to select the right rung.
So, the guardrail architecture is essentially Daniel's old CSA ladder with an LLM bolted onto the front.
Bolted on with very specific constraints. The LLM's output isn't free text. It's a structured JSON schema with fields like refund percentage, damage category, reason code, and confidence score. The model can't say, give this guy $40. It can only say, I'm 85% confident this is cosmetic damage. Then the rule engine looks up what cosmetic damage pays for a $70 monitor and spits out $10.50, rounded to $10.
And there are hard caps.
Multiple caps. There's a per-item class cap on refund value. The model can't offer more than, say, 20% on electronics regardless of what it classifies. There's a fraud risk flag. If the customer's account has a history of suspicious returns, the AI classification gets ignored and the case goes straight to human review. And there's a confidence threshold. If the model is below 80% confidence on its classification, that also kicks to a human. The AI is sandboxed inside a system that doesn't trust it.
Which is the right instinct? What's the inference cost on one of these classifications?
Based on current GPT-40 mini pricing, about a penny per classification. 1 cent. If you're running this at Amazon scale, they process over 1.5 billion packages a year, and even a 1% return rate gives you 15 million return-less refund decisions annually. You're spending about $150,000 a year on inference.
That's nothing.
It's a rounding error. And the savings are enormous. Returnless refunds cut shipping, restocking, and inspection costs by 30 to 40% per item. Industry estimates put the logistics savings at $8 to $12 per item. So even if the AI gets the classification wrong 5% of the time and you eat some bad refunds, you're still netting somewhere in the range of $120 to $180 million annually. The math isn't subtle.
So the AI layer costs pocket change and saves 9 figures. That's the business case for putting an LLM in front of a rule engine.
And it's why this pattern is going to spread everywhere. It's not just refunds. Pricing, fraud detection, customer service routing. Anywhere you've unstructured input, feeding into a structured decision, you can slot an LLM into the classification step and keep the existing rule system intact. The guardrails are the real innovation. The AI is just a smarter input parser.
Let's go back to the VPN cancellation for a second, because Daniel grouped these together, and I think the contrast is instructive. You said it's a state machine. Walk me through what's actually happening when he clicks cancel.
The system is tracking his click path through the account settings. When he hits the cancellation node, it checks a few variables. How long he's been subscribed, what plan he's on, maybe whether he's used the service recently. Then it serves a pre-written offer from a lookup table. Subscribe more than 6 months on the annual plan, offer 3 months at 50% off. That's it. There's no model interpreting anything, no unstructured input to reason about, no classification step. The decision space is too narrow to benefit from AI.
The chatbot is just the delivery mechanism.
Right. It's a UX choice, not an AI choice. They could show the same offer in a modal window and it'd be functionally identical. The AI veneer is there because chatbots are the interface pattern du jour, not because there's any reasoning happening.
Is there a version of that where AI actually would add something?
Potentially, but it'd be a recommendation system, not an agent. If the VPN service wanted to personalize the retention offer, say analyzing your usage patterns to figure out which features you actually use, and crafting a discount on a plan that matches, that's an ML model doing prediction, not an agent making a decision. It's a different category, and honestly, for most subscription services, the rule-based approach works fine. You don't need an LLM to decide that someone who's been subscribed for 2 years is worth offering a discount to.
The interesting frontier is the Amazon case, because that's where the AI is actually touching money. Let's talk about what breaks.
Several things. The most obvious failure mode is misclassification. The LLM sees a photo of a monitor with a cracked bezel and a working screen, and it classifies it as functional damage instead of cosmetic. Now you're refunding $35 instead of $10 on a $70 item. Multiply that across millions of transactions and the error rate matters. That's why the confidence threshold exists. Below 80% confidence, it goes to a human.
But there's a subtler failure pattern. The customer learns how the system classifies things.
That's actually the most interesting part. Go on.
If I know the LLM is reading my damage description and classifying it, I can write my description to game the classifier. The screen has a slight flicker when viewed from an angle. Honestly, barely noticeable. I was going to live with it, but figured I should report it. That's prompt engineering against the refund system. I'm feeding it language that sounds like cosmetic damage while describing something that might actually be functional.
That's a genuine attack surface. The old drop-down menu system didn't have this problem because the customer selected a category from a fixed list. You couldn't finesse a drop-down. But an LLM reading free text, you absolutely can finesse that. And the guardrails have to account for it.
How do you sandbox against adversarial customer input?
I'm not sure anyone's fully solved it yet. You can do some things. Cross-reference the text description with the photo to check for inconsistencies. Flag descriptions that use hedging language like slightly or barely noticeable. Track whether a customer's descriptions consistently downplay damage. But those are heuristics, not guarantees. A sufficiently motivated customer with a basic understanding of how LLMs classify text can probably find the edge cases.
This is where the fraud risk flag you mentioned becomes load-bearing. If the system can't fully trust the classification, it has to trust the customer's history instead.
And that's already happening. The fraud scoring runs in parallel with the classification. It's checking return frequency, account age, purchase history, whether the shipping address has been associated with other flagged returns. If the fraud score is high, the AI classification gets ignored entirely. The rule engine just routes to human review regardless of what the model says.
So the guardrail stack, top to bottom, is constrained output schemas so the LLM can't invent refund amounts. A rule engine that maps classifications to preset percentages, hard caps per item class. A confidence threshold that escalates uncertain classifications. A fraud scoring layer that can override the AI entirely. And a human review queue for anything that trips any of those wires.
That's the stack. And it's worth noting that this architecture isn't unique to Amazon. It's becoming the standard pattern for any enterprise deploying AI in financial decision paths. The AI is an intelligent router, not an autonomous decision maker. It interprets messy input and feeds structured data into a system that was already designed to handle structured data. The guardrails are doing the real work.
Daniel's old CSA ladder is still in there. It just has a new front door.
And the front door is the part that's changing fastest. As LLMs get cheaper and more capable, the scope of what the AI layer can handle expands. Right now, it's classifying damage into fixed tiers. The next step is letting it negotiate within a range. Cosmetic damage on a $70 item pays between $8 and $12, and the model can decide based on the specifics. That's still constrained, the range is set by the rule engine, but the AI has more discretion within the range.
Does the guardrail architecture need to change for that?
The architecture stays the same. The rule engine still sets the boundaries. What changes is the complexity of the output schema. Instead of picking from a fixed list of categories, the model outputs a recommended amount within a preset band, plus a justification that gets logged for audit. The key question is whether the guardrails can keep pace with the AI's expanding scope without becoming the bottleneck.
What's the bottleneck look like?
If you're auditing every AI decision above a certain dollar amount, and the AI starts making more decisions in that range, your human review queue grows. If the fraud models can't adapt fast enough to new adversarial patterns, you start leaking money. The guardrails have to get smarter without getting more expensive, or the economics stop working.
Adaptive guardrails.
That's the direction. Dynamic fraud thresholds based on real-time customer behavior. Confidence thresholds that adjust based on item category and price point. Escalation rules that learn from past human review decisions. But every time you make a guardrail adaptive, you introduce a new failure pattern. The guardrail itself can be gamed or can drift. It's guardrails all the way down.
The VPN case is a dead end for this kind of thinking, but the refund case is a template. This is how agentic AI actually enters business logic, not as a replacement for the rule engine, but as a smarter input layer that feeds it.
And the thing that makes it work at scale isn't the AI. It's the fact that the business logic, the authorization ladder, the refund percentages, the fraud rules, was already well-defined before the AI showed up. The AI isn't inventing new business logic. It's just making the existing logic accessible to unstructured input. That's the pattern that's going to spread.
So when Daniel asks whether these are rule-based systems with an AI veneer or autonomous agents, the answer is neither, exactly. The refund system is a hybrid. The AI does real reasoning about unstructured input, but it's reasoning inside a cage. The cage is the interesting part.
And the cage was designed by people like Daniel, back when he was a CSA. The tiered authorization ladder he remembers is the skeleton. The AI is just new muscle on old bones.
Which means the people who built those ladders in the first place are the ones who understand how to constrain the AI. The domain expertise transfers.
Completely. If you've spent time in a customer service role, handling escalations, knowing when to bend a rule and when to hold firm, you already understand the guardrail design problem. The AI is just a faster version of the same judgment calls, with harder constraints, because it can't be trusted to know when to bend.
Let's talk about what happens when the AI is confidently wrong.
That's the liability question. If the model classifies a broken item as cosmetic damage with 95% confidence, and the customer accepts the $10 refund on a $70 item that should have been replaced, who's responsible? Amazon's terms of service almost certainly disclaim liability for automated decisions, but consumer protection law hasn't caught up to this. The EU's AI Act has some provisions around automated decision-making, but they're broad. In the US, it's basically the Wild West.
And the adversarial angle makes it messier. If a customer intentionally writes their description to trigger a cosmetic classification on a functional defect, is that fraud? Probably. Is it provable? Much harder.
The old system had a paper trail. A human looked at the photos and made a judgment call. The new system has a model's confidence score and a JSON output. Try explaining to a credit card dispute agent that your LLM classified the damage as cosmetic with 87% confidence, and that's why the customer only got $10. The infrastructure for adjudicating these disputes doesn't exist yet.
This is where Hilbert's been making a face. I think he's got something.
The thing about adversarial input. We had a version of this problem in 2019, before the LLMs. I was working on the rule engine for a big box retailer's return system, not Amazon. But same idea, tiered refund ladder, pre-authorized amounts, manager escalation, all hard-coded in a COBOL-like DSL that hadn't been updated since the 90s.
What was the adversarial angle before AI?
Customers would call in and describe the damage differently depending on which agent they got. They'd learn which phrases triggered which outcomes. It arrived that way, versus, I think it got damaged in shipping. Different paths through the system. The call center had an informal taxonomy of phrases that meant, this person has done this before. The AI version is the same problem, just faster and harder to audit because there's no phone call to review.
So the adversarial surface existed before the LLM. The LLM just made it scalable.
Made it invisible is the problem. With a phone call, you could pull the recording. With a chat transcript and a model classification, you've got a confidence score and a JSON blob. Nobody knows what the model actually read in the text. The audit trail is thinner.
That's a real operational concern. If you're running this at scale and something goes wrong, how do you debug it? You can't replay the model's reasoning. You can only look at the output and the confidence score.
We had a guy who figured out that describing a TV as having a slight discoloration in the corner, barely visible during normal viewing, would get classified as cosmetic every time, even when the panel was completely dead. He did it 14 times before the fraud team caught on. That was with human agents reading his descriptions. An LLM would have been faster and more consistent, consistently wrong in his favor.
14 times.
It took them 3 months. He'd have cleaned out an automated system in a week.
So the guardrail stack we described, fraud scoring, confidence thresholds, human escalation, that's all necessary but maybe not sufficient. The adversarial customer who understands how the classifier works is a new category of risk.
The old fraud models looked for patterns in return frequency and dollar amounts. They're not looking for patterns in language. That's the gap. Nobody's building language. Pattern fraud detection for customer service chatbots yet. Or if they are, they're not talking about it.
Because if you announce how you're detecting it, the adversarial customers adapt their language.
Same arms race as email spam, just with refunds.
The difference is the stakes. A spam email costs you a few seconds of attention. A misclassified refund on a high-value item costs real money, and at scale, it adds up fast.
The other thing nobody's mentioning is that the AI layer introduces a timing problem. The old system, human reads description, classifies damage, applies rule, took maybe 2 minutes per case. The AI does it in under a second. That sounds like an improvement, but it means the fraud window is wider. Someone can submit 50 claims in the time it used to take to process one. The fraud detection has to be real-time in a way it never had to be before.
Speed as a vulnerability.
Always is. The faster the system, the more damage you can do before anyone notices. We learned that with high-frequency trading. Same principle, different domain.
That connects to something I've been thinking about. The guardrail architecture we've been describing. Constrained output, rule engine, human escalation. It's designed for correctness, not for speed. It assumes the AI will make occasional mistakes, and those mistakes will be caught by the human review queue. But if the AI is processing claims 100 times faster than the human queue can review them, the queue becomes a fig leaf. It's not actually catching anything in real time.
So the guardrails are structurally behind the AI. They're supposed to be constraining.
That's the tension. The AI gets faster and cheaper every quarter. The human review queue doesn't. At some point, the economics push you toward either accepting a higher error rate or building guardrails that are themselves automated. AI auditing AI. And that's a whole new set of problems.
We had a saying in the return system group, the ladder only works if someone's standing on it. Meaning the escalation path is only real if a human actually looks at the escalated cases. If the queue gets too deep, managers start rubber stamping. The ladder collapses into a flat authorization.
And an AI auditing. Another AI is just two ladders leaning on each other.
That's about right.
The adversarial angle Hilbert raised changes how I think about this. I've been focused on the guardrail architecture as a technical problem, output schemas, confidence thresholds, fraud scores. But the real vulnerability is the customer who understands the system better than the system understands itself. That's not a technical problem. It's an adversarial dynamics problem.
It's also a scale problem, which is what Hilbert's really pointing at. The old system had natural friction, human agents, phone calls, processing time, that limited how far someone could exploit it. The AI removes that friction, which is great for legitimate customers, and also great for fraud. The guardrails have to compensate for the missing friction.
And they're not there yet. The fraud models are still playing catch-up. The language pattern detection Hilbert mentioned doesn't really exist in production systems. The human review queues are getting proportionally smaller as the AI processes more cases. The whole architecture assumes a world where the AI is the weak link and the guardrails are strong. But as the AI gets better, the guardrails become the weak link.
Daniel's question was whether these systems are rule-based with an AI veneer or autonomous. The answer we've landed on is that they're hybrids. AI classification feeding into rule engines. But the more interesting question is whether the hybrid can hold. As the AI gets more capable, the pressure to give it more discretion grows. But the guardrails aren't evolving at the same pace.
The adversarial surface Hilbert identified means the guardrails need to evolve in a direction nobody's really building for yet. Language-aware fraud detection. Real-time auditing that can keep up with AI speed claims. Escalation paths that don't collapse under volume.
The ladder Daniel remembers from his CSA days is still the right model. It just needs new rungs.
New rungs, and someone actually standing on them.
The thing about rungs, you don't notice they're missing until you step where one should be.
That's exactly the problem.
Where does this leave us? The refund system is a real deployment of AI in business logic. Not autonomous, but not a veneer either. It's doing genuine reasoning about unstructured input, inside constraints that were designed by humans who understood the domain. The VPN cancellation flow is a state machine with a chatbot interface, no AI in the decision path at all. The guardrail pattern that makes the refund system work is becoming the standard template for enterprise AI deployment, and the biggest unsolved problem is adversarial input, customers who learn to write descriptions that game the classifier.
The open question is, who audits the guardrails as these systems scale? Daniel's old CSA ladder had managers reviewing escalations. The AI version has confidence thresholds and fraud scores, but the human in the loop is getting proportionally smaller. At some point, the audit function has to be automated too. And then you've got AI auditing. AI, which is guardrails all the way down.
Liability. If the AI is confidently wrong and a customer gets shorted on a refund, who's responsible? The terms of service probably disclaim it, but consumer protection law hasn't caught up to AI-classified damage claims. That's going to be a fight.
The adversarial angle Hilbert raised suggests a new class of fraud that traditional rule engines weren't designed to handle. Language pattern manipulation. It's not about return frequency or dollar amounts. It's about crafting descriptions that trigger specific classifications. The old system had human agents who could smell something off. The new system has a confidence score.
The template is spreading, though. AI router plus rule engine. It's going to show up in pricing, fraud detection, customer service routing, anywhere you've got unstructured input feeding into a structured decision. The guardrail architecture Daniel's old CSA ladder inspired is becoming the standard. The adversarial failure pattern means the ladder needs new rungs, but the basic structure holds.
If you've got a weird prompt about AI actually making decisions with real money, especially if you've been on either side of one of these systems, send it in. MyWeirdPrompts.com. We'll take it apart.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.